We continue our learning. We are in Tzuvos, Perek Aleph, Mishneh Hey. Now, we learned before that Almana or a Grusha from Erisin still has the status of a Besula, and therefore she marries someone else, and the second husband now comes with a Tanas Besulim. So then we have to clarify whether maybe she had an affair after Erisin, and that's regarding the Isra, meaning does his wife become Usher to him? And also, there's a financial issue. Is she going to be is she going to receive a ksuva of 200 if she's not, was really not a basula, and maybe at no fault to her? There's no Isser involved in her them staying married. Still, if she was a ba'ula, she deserves only a ksuva of 100 and not 200. Our Mishnah is coming to teach us that the husband had yichud, was secluded with his wife before Nisuin, meaning during the Erisin period, then he can't come with a Tanis Besulim anymore because we're afraid maybe they had Bia and therefore she lost her Besulim and he should have no Tanis Besulim after Nisuin. Says the Mishnah, Ha'ochel eitzel chamiv bi'yehuda shelo be'ed. Happened to be the minhag in Yehuda, in a southern part of Eretz Israel, was that the Arus would spend time, before the marriage, they would have a Simchas Erusin, they would have a meal, and he would go to his future father-in-law's house, and they would give a chance for this new husband and wife, they didn't have chuppah yet, but nonetheless, Zeshus-ish, for them to have Yichud. Now, typically, we don't normally have yichud. They don't live together, husband and wife. But the purpose of this was shehei libo gaspa, to create a sense of affection between the two. But of course, if you're having yichud and there are no eidim there to testify that nothing happened, so then the potential is that she's no longer a besula. And therefore, eino yachol liton tanas besulim. After the nisuin, after they have chuppah, he can't now, after the first night after birishon, he can't now come with a taino, my wife is not a besula, mipnei shemisyached ima, because he had yichud with her before. And therefore, that's what we're afraid. It's not neman to say, I didn't have bia with her before, because the yichud that they did was without eidim. Now, this idea of this minhagim Yehuda, Yushalmi says this goes back to a time where the Romans were in charge, and you have this in other cases as well, that any basula gets married has to have relations with the Roman officer, the Roman governor first. So we're afraid that maybe she would now submit to him willingly. And if she does that, so then she would be usher to her husband. Of course, if she did so even not willingly, if her husband is a Kohen, she can't marry him either. But the idea here was that we want to make sure, at least, the very least, that they wouldn't, at least if the husband's a Yisrael, she'll be able to live with him when they get married. And how do we ensure that she's not going to submit willingly to this Roman governor? Is to make sure that she has this great affection for her husband. And doing so, that's why they would have yichud together. And the hope was that this, therefore the wife, when there came time to the marriage, right before the marriage, and she lived with this, she was taken by the Roman officer, Roman governor, she would not submit to him. What about the kalos of the Kohanim? So they become prohibited, even if they were coerced into this. So the Gemara assumes that they were maybe, those are the women that we hid away. But everybody else, we gave them over with hope. Hope was that after having yichud with her husbands during the Erisin period, they wouldn't submit once again to this governor. Whether or not in this there was during this time of yichud, was there sheva brachos? What did we do exactly at this time when they had yichud? So this is somewhat of a debate amongst the Rishonim. But of course, once again, this is what was done in Yehuda. They had yichud, shelo be'edim. They can't have a tanas besulim because they had yichud together. Then the Mishnah says another halacha, achas almanas Yisrael, va'achas almanas Kohen, k'suvason maneh. Whether you have a widow of a Yisrael or a widow of a Kohen, so now she gets married again with a new marriage as an almana from a previous marriage, the k'suva is going to be 100 zuz. Now, why do I need the Mishnah to tell me that? The k'suva of an alman is always 100 zuz. The answer is that we're going to see in a moment that when it came to basula, they instituted that a basula marrying a kohen, there would be 400 zuz. So you would have thought that the almana then of a kohen should have a ksuva of a 200 zuz, which is half of that. Kamash v'lan, that's why the Mishnah is coming to teach you. No, when it came to the Almana, it's always 100 zuz. But there says the Mishnah, based in Shel Kohen, Ema Yugovin Levesula, Arba Meo Zuz, V'lo Mechubidam Chachamim. The based in the Kohanim, the courts that were in the cities of the Kohanim, where there were 23 judges, they're similar to the 23 judges that we have for capital cases in all parts of Eretz Yisrael. So they would do this for the for a basula, the daughter of a kohen. Now, according to some, this is where it is the daughter of a kohen who's marrying a kohen. And certainly if it was the daughter of a kohen who married a non-kohen. And others say no, not necessarily. Now, this is it's talking about a case where whether the basula was of a kohen who married a non-kohen or it was the basula of a non-kohen who married a kohen. Either way, the ksuba was 400 zuz. And the goal here was to was almost like a fine to discourage people marrying out of their shvata. And in this case, v'lo michu b'yadam chacham, the chachamim didn't object to the fact that they were giving a larger amount. Now, why should that be a problem? There's a concept, as we'll learn, of tosefes ksuva, the husband can give as much as he likes. So the problem here is, that Rishonim point out, is that it wasn't just an additional obligation, financial obligation, but in the ksuva itself, they use the same language that they normally do, which is we say, that chazi lichi midoraisa, that this is the 200 zuz that is roi fit for you, midoraisa. So they would write, this is the 400 zuz that's roi for you to receive. So that, it's not really true. There's no 400 zuz in the Torah, nor in 400 zuz at all. So nonetheless, and that's not the typical ksuva for a basula. Nonetheless, the Chachamim did not protest from using that language of the ksuva as if it's 400 zuz that is really coming to her. Now, why is it when it came to the Amana, why don't we just now cut it down to 200? So they happen to be that the Gemara says that the Kohanim did raise the amount of the ksuva for the daughters, the widow daughters of a Kohanim, Bas Kohen, who became a widow, to 200 zuz. And that obviously was there to show that the Kohanim, there's a certain dignity that they have, a certain cover was supposed to give them, and that by doing so, because the larger the ksuva, the more the husband is discouraged from divorcing the woman. But what happened? Then people said, a man said, you know, why should I marry for the same price as marrying an almana, a widow who is a bas kohen? I can bet for 200 zuz, I can marry a basula, a bas yisrael. Why marry someone who's not a basula if I can marry a basula for the same price? So therefore, they went back and decided that the almana is always going to be Amaras Kohen as well, is going to be only 100 zuz. Perak Aleph, Mishnah Vav. Hanosia so'isha v'lo matza la basulam. Here you have a case, man marries a woman, we assume she's a basula, and finds that she's not. So now they come to court, there's a claim, and a counterclaim. He omeres misher astani ne'enasti mistapcha sodecha. So what does she claim? She says, you're right, I did have relations with a man, but this took place, but ne'enasti, I was violated, I was raped. And this took place after Erisin, which means you mekadesh me, I was a basula, everything was fine, there's no mekach tos here. Happens to be someone raped me after, I didn't tell you, but someone raped me after Erisin, during the Kiddushin period, before we entered the chuppah. And that's why I'm not a basula. Vinistabcha sadecha literally means that your field is flooded, which means, too bad, it's your misfortune, your loss, nothing you can do about it. After all, when I got mad, there's no mekach tos here, and I deserve the regular ksuba, because when we got married, I was a basula. Vahala omer, but the husband says, no, low key, not so. Now, what does he mean, not so? He doesn't really know. She can say, I'm telling you, this is what happened. He can claim Shema, maybe this happened. This is what we call Bari v'Shema. Her claim is Bari, is sure, is of certainty. And his is Shema, perhaps it's not so. Perhaps you're not telling the truth. And he says, low key, not so. Ela ad shelo erastich. Maybe you, I know you're not a basula, you mean you're not a basula, but I'm assuming that this happened, you were violated before Erisin, which means that when I was mekadesh you, assuming you were a basula, you were not a basula at all, and you don't deserve a ksuva of 200. Not only that, I married you on the presumption you were a basula, and you misled me. So you should lose, and the Gemara discusses this, how much you should lose. So we assume the Gemara and after Yud Aleph, you should lose the whole ksuba. Why? Because I married you becheskas basula, and I find out you're a basula, so you shouldn't have anything. There's a discussion there. The Gemara discusses it at great length. Rami Gamliel. So what happens? Who's believed? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Omrin, Ne'emenes. She is believed with her claim, and she therefore entitled to the ksuba, the full ksuba of 200 zuz. And Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Lomi Pia Anuchai, you know, we don't literally live by her words, meaning we will not believe her. We have to assume maybe that she's not telling the truth. Elaharezo b'cheskas be'ula. She is in the status of being a be'ula at Shalot Tisares. We have to assume that perhaps she was violated before Erisin, before Kiddushin, v'it atu, and she misled him, atchotvi raya l'dvara, until she brings a raya. So what's the basis of this machlokes? So Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel say she's ne'emenes, she's me'emenes, because she has, as we said, a tainas bari. She is claiming something she's sure of. And the husband is only tining a tina shema. And the rule is bari v'shema bari adif. When you have one person who's sure, certain of their claim, and one who's not so certain, the husband doesn't know. So bari wins, and therefore she's ne'emenes. Ah, you'll say, isn't there a rule? Hamotzi mechaver olav araya, hamid mamon al becheskas balav. Don't we keep the money where it is? She wants to claim I deserve a whole ksuba. He's saying no, you don't. So shouldn't we say, well, if she wants to exact that full ksuba, she has to bring a raya? No, it's not true, because we keep the woman in the chazaka that she's there. Rabbi Yeshua, of course, says no. That's exactly what he holds. We say no, the money stays where it is. The husband holds on to that money and doesn't have to pay the full ksuba. Obviously, under the circumstances. The way we would have to if he passes away or they get divorced, and hamotzi mechavero olav araya, and therefore the raya, she has to bring a raya that indeed she was a basula when they got married. We don't follow Rabbi Yeshua, we follow Rabbi Ram Gamli, Rabbi Eliezer. Rambam writes his Hilchos Yishus Perik Yudalef Halacha Yudalef. Now, why is it that Ram Gamli and Eliezer believe that she should win? So there are really two, isn't it true, Hamotzi Mechaver Levaraya? So why should we assume that she should get the full 200 zuz? Maybe the husband, we should believe the money should stay with him, and he shouldn't have to pay that money out. So there are two rules, two principles that are at play here that will override that concept of hamotzi mechaver levaraya. And that number one is migo. What does it mean, migo? Migo is that is a concept, and we'll have this several times, where someone wins since. Migo, since I could have had, sometimes migo is migo di bar yishus, like I could have been silent and not said anything, and you wouldn't have known anything, and I offer the information. Other times migo is where, well, I could have made a different claim, and that would have been more advantageous for me, and I now put myself in a bad light by saying the truth, so you should believe, or saying something that's not as advantageous, since I could have claimed something else, I therefore have ne'emonus. In this case, she's obviously not a basula, so what could she claim that would be better than I was violated? She's not saying I had an affair, so she's saying I was raped. What she could have said that would have been in a better light? The answer is, she could have said I was a mukas eitz, meaning I was injured by something, and that would have been a better claim. We spoke about the machokes about how much a mukas eitz gets, but assuming mukas eitz receives a ksuva of 200 zuz, so then she could have claimed that. So believe me when I say I was raped after Erison. And therefore, when we got married, when you mekadesh me, I was a basula, because I could have made a better claim that I was a mukas eitz, and I would have been believed for that. No, that's normal. Number two, there's also, she has a chazaka, she has a status, a certain presumptive status, and that's what we usually, what is her presumptive status? That she's a basula, a girl is born, and we assume she's a basula until you can prove otherwise. So that's what we have over here. So here the same thing, no, we have no indication that she necessarily lost her besulim before Erisin. So therefore, the chazaka remains. She remains a besula until the point where she tells her she's not a besula. And that point was after Erisin. So after Erisin being violated, so that means when Kiddushin happened, she was a besula, and therefore she's entitled to the full 200. That's the law. That's the logic of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Of course, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. He says, no, this... he would say that this chazaka is not going to override the chazaka of money. The money is also a case of chazaka. The chazaka is the money of the ksuba is with the husband. He should not have to pay 200 unless you can prove that in fact she deserves it. And you'll say, what about migo? Isn't there a migo here? So we'll learn a little bit later that Rabbi Yeshua does not accept this kind of migo.